Hey now, nice to have you in the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California, and it is great to be with you. The Quicken Loans Studios, mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. All right, so an open phone third hour. Whatever you want to hit is fine by me. I'm talking about all the divisional matchups. We could look ahead to championship weekend. CBS has the Super Bowl. We will be in Atlanta all week long. Can't wait for that. So let me reset very quickly. Telephone number, as you know, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. Email the or tweet at the program. Best tweets get read. Exceptional tweets get retweeted. I've got 1.35 million followers. So if you tweet at me and I retweet you, you will get followers. You will build your brand. Hell, do it enough, you might get this show. Take your shot. Shoot your shot. Always. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. First email reads, Rome, I'm so glad Alvin is back today. It is refreshing to hear a drop that's actually on time. Jesse and Lincoln. Well, bro, take it easy. Flight deck. It's not an easy job. Flight deck is not classically trained to engineer. It's a whole different sport from what he does. It's a different business almost. He's fine. Deck does a nice job. This guy's old school. A fairly long form email. Jim, Sean McVay worked over Jason Garrett so badly this weekend. That ginger fraud didn't get his offense to show up, and his D got run over by Todd Gurley and a future contestant on The Biggest Loser. I know Jarrah probably already gave him a five-year extension, but the next time these two teams get together, McVay should hit him with the all-jumbo package just to make it interesting. Sign Eddie Lacy to run like it's happy hour at Panda Express. Bring in Calzone Bingin Ham to eat passes. Move Antonio Gates across town in a motorized cart to play tight end. And after Peter Carroll cuts Seabass, bring in Janikowski to make sure no leftovers remain on the Rams training table. The Cowboys aren't ever getting over on the Rams as long as McVay is in L.A. and that pale-faced gum chewer is in Dallas. Signed, Phil in St. Paul. War you putting up a bigger fight to stay in first class than the doctor who was flying United. Yeah, that was not me. I was not going to do that. It was not that important to me. All right, I'll have that for you in a minute. That whole thing about Jason Garrett getting an extension, allegedly, reportedly, like I said, obviously winning is not the thing. Just being in contention is the thing. Winning the division every so often is the thing. Having people look at you and talk about you is the thing, if you're the Cowboys and you're Jarrah. But you know what the biggest thing is? The biggest thing is having a coach who will do exactly what you tell him to do. Having a coach that's not demanding authority and power and a sale over personnel. Having a coach that just kind of blends in. Obviously, if you're going to give this guy a five-year extension based on a playoff win, not a Super Bowl win, not a Super Bowl appearance, but winning a playoff game, that tells you where the priorities are. He's not going anywhere now. All right, so he mentioned, war you putting up a bigger fight to stay in first class than the doctor who was flying United. Really quickly, if you want this story. So Friday, I'm flying out of Southern California to go to Dallas for the store managers convention for O'Reilly. I do this every single year. It's one of my favorite events. So I do the show. I run off to the airport. I get on a flight. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not trying to be a bag about this in any way, but one of the perks and one of the bennies of doing this as long as I have is, you know, often, fairly often, I can fly towards the front. Usually in business, sometimes in first. It's kind of nice. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. It's nice. It's good. I've worked pretty hard for a pretty long time, and we buy the tickets. All right, so nothing's comped. It's all on the up and up. It's all straight. And that's how that is. So I'm trying to hustle to the airport to get on the plane to make sure I hit this appearance. And it's going to be one of those deals where I probably have to get off the airplane and go right to the event just to make the timing. So you don't want any travel snafus. I get on the airplane, minding my own business, kind of zoned out a little bit, long work week, keeping my head right, looking at my phone. And a flight attendant comes over and says, "Are you Mr. Rome?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to go back to coach. And I've got a couple of options for you." And she goes right into it. "I've got a couple of options for you. You can be in row 18 on the aisle, or you can be in row 20 on the window with nobody in the center seat. Which would you prefer?" It's like some crazy closing technique, right? I'm like, "Wait, what? I'm sitting in 4E in first class, and you're telling me my choices are 18 or 20? What's going on here? Am I in trouble? What happened?" "No, sir. What's going on is there is a seat that is broken, and the gentleman over there has that seat, but we're moving him to your seat, and you need to go back." I said, "Okay, listen, I feel badly for the gentleman over there, but why is he not going back, and why am I going back? Can you just kind of explain this to me? I mean, it's all fine. It's not great, but it's fine." She's like, "Sir, the reason that he is not going back and that you are going back is because you are first on the downgrade list." I said, "Wow, really? How lucky am I? Let me ask you one thing really quickly." And I'm thinking about which I like better, 18 on the aisle or 20 on the window without the center seat. What exactly is a downgrade list? I've heard of being first on the upgrade list, but what is first on the downgrade list? What is that? I don't know, sir, but we checked it and you are on it, so we need for you to go back. You know, hey, listen, most of the world flies in aisle 20. I'm never going to complain about something I have to do. Sometimes it's fine. And no names mentioned, American Airlines. What the hell is a downgrade list? What is that? Why is this? Okay, the seat's broken. I get that. You can't fix the seat. But really, really, why am I going back and why isn't he? I mean, isn't it the luck of the draw? Like, my seat's fine. Anyway, sir, you are first on the downgrade list. And at this point, hey, man, I'm not ending up on any video. I'm like, "Yes, ma'am, I will go back." So I go back, and I'm still trying to figure out what the downgrade list is. But I go back, and then there's somebody sitting in my second seat. And this guy's looking at me, and he goes, "Is this your seat?" I'm like, "Apparently it is now. What's up, bro?" He goes, "Would you mind going back over there to row 23 where I was sitting?" I'm like, "Yeah, bro, why not? I mean, I've already moved once. What's going on?" He's like, "I just want to be here next to my girlfriend." I'm like, "You got it. No worries." So now I shuffle over to row 23, trying to figure out what's going on and how I made first on the downgrade list. And then they come back and the flight attendant says, "Sir, I am really sorry about this." And I said, "Yeah, that's fine." She goes, "You know what? You know what we're going to do for you? We're going to give you as many drinks as you want for free." And I'm like, "You mean like that deal I had up front already?" "No, thank you. I'm fine. I don't want any drinks. I'm working. I have to go work. I don't want, no. I was not going to drink." And then she comes back and says, "Sir, we will serve you food first." I'm like, "That's fine." But then I'm the biggest D-bag because I'm back there where they don't get served food first and they got to pay for it. And they're just bringing me my food. So it's all bad, right? It's all bad. Then she brings me the voucher. "Sir, here is your voucher for a couple $100. I'm like, "Great. I kind of want that seat, but it's fine. It's good." And I didn't, at this point, I'm not even doing the math. I'm like, "What's the difference between," anyway, forget it, it's fine. Stop coming back and trying to make it right. It's fine. It's good. It's fine. I'm good. I'm fine. "Sir, what is your email address? We want to give you points." "It's fine. It's good. It's fine." And, but then the best part was another flight attendant comes back and says, "Sir, I am sorry that happened." And they keep coming. I'm like, "It's fine. It's fine. I swear it's fine." She says, "Sir, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry, but your seat was broken." I'm like, whoa, okay, all right. "Because your colleague told me his seat was broken, and he's sitting in my seat now. So how can my seat be broken? One of you is not telling the truth, if you want to keep this conversation going." So it's fine. It's like a 2-hour flight. It's good. It's fine. The story's funny now. Now it's funny, and I love being on the downgrade list, whatever that is. But then I get off the plane and like they're waiting for me, and then it got awkward. And they're like, we are investigating this. I'm like, it's fine. God, it's fine. Can I go? Can I please go to the convention center and hang out with my pals at the O'Reilly convention? Please. Please. We are investigating. Don't investigate. It's fine. Whatever. It happened. It's good. It's fine. Anyway, there is a downgrade list, and I was number one on it. That was cool. So anyway, that is your travel story. That was on Friday night. Got in, made it to a hotel before the appearance, hung out with my pals at O'Reilly's convention for the store managers, flew out the next morning. Everything was cool. No Wi-Fi, but that'll happen, I guess. Got to hang out with my man, Craig Kitchen, my boy Brandon, saw Becky from O'Reilly's. It was good. It was fun. I just know y'all like travel stories. Christopher tweets, did you hear the helicopter drop when they moved you 16 rows back? Dude, right? Bravo. Well played. Nicely done, Chris. I did not, but they should have, man. That would have been the best. If they had dropped that on me, if that flight attendant said, are you Mr. Rome? And I said, yes. If she had said to me, maybe you've heard this before. If she like broke out her phone and hit play on that, that would have been the best. I would have been like, well, wait a minute. Are you taking my golden ticket? And her response would have said, yes. Over the PA system would have been awesome. May I have your attention, please? Is there a Jim Rome on this flight? Yeah, is everything all right? Not for you, bro. That would have been awesome. Come on, man. If you're going to do me like that, do it the right way. They should have played that over the PA system. That would have been so great. Dear Rome, the downgrade list isn't such a big deal. I've been on it since Smackoff 23. Signed, Dan in Denver. Matt in Vancouver. Unaware air travel being as consistently disappointing as the freaking Chargers. I mean, you are now free, Rome, to go back 20 rows where you belong. It's not, to me, it's not, and I fly a fair amount. It's not consistently disappointing, but I'd never heard that before. I mean, if I want to, I could open this thing up and say, I want to hear about your air travel. Have you ever heard of anything like that? I won't because it's funny. But it would have been funnier if she did hit me with a smacky helicopter. Hey, Rome, warn me being first on the downgrade list if Jessica Alba divorces her husband, John in Huntington Beach. War downgrade list being part of our everyday lives. See, that's the thing. The downgrade list was the funniest thing, the funniest part about that. Of course, they had to say something, right? You can't just move me back there when I didn't do anything wrong. There has to be a reason for it. Like, I wonder if she just made that thing up on the spot. Like, what is a downgrade list? Because when the suits were waiting for me, they weren't forcing that down my throat. Like, sir, we are sorry, but our policy is there is a downgrade list. And as I mentioned, one of the other ones was lying. Totally contradicted it and said, your seat was broken. That's why you moved. It's almost like they were covering the downgrade list story, like covering that up. Just so you know, your seat's broken. Well, that's not what the other guy said. Other gal. Anyway, my point is, it's funny. It would have been funnier if they mocked me on the PA. Then it would have been really funny if they had taken my golden ticket. Because it felt like it after they took it away. That would have been even funnier if everybody knew about it, too. The other guy had to be laughing so hard. Man, that seat probably was so comfortable. He had to have been like, damn, yeah, man. Sucks for him. Sucks for him. I mean, wouldn't you? Wouldn't I? Anyway, that guy must have been like, wait, let me see if I have this straight. My seat's broken, but I get DJ Man's seat over there? Hell yeah. I think I'll have a cocktail. I think I'll have lots of cocktails. I think I'll go to Vegas. This is my big day. Hey, it happens. It happens. No names mentioned. American Airlines. Hey, Jim. I am first on the but downgrade list. Mike Gundy.
Downgrade him.
Mike Gundy's awesome. Man, keep his name out your mouth. Mike in Buffalo. unwarned people who stand up in row 39 the second the wheels hit the ground, wore drinking in airports. Yeah, again, like, they offered me as many drinks as I wanted for free. Yeah, that would have made it better. It actually wouldn't have. Wore people who stand up in row 39 the second the wheels hit the ground. Let me tell you something, bro. I was in row 39. None of us were standing up. You know why? We knew it was going to be a half hour before we got off. Nobody back where I was, and I was like in row 50 at that point. No one was standing up. We knew better. My man Chris is the best. Did you hear the helicopter drop when they move you 16 rows back? That would have been so good. No, but again, my other favorite part was when I got to that second seat, there was a dude already in it, asking, would I mind moving again? That was so great. You should have just moved me right off the airplane. They should have kept pushing me back till I got to the last row and said, you know what? As long as you're back here, would you mind just not even taking this flight? How about we give you $5 and you fly tomorrow? Think about that. We'll give you $5 and you can fly tomorrow. That'd be cool. All right. Best of all, though, not only did I get to the event on time, I had time to go to the hotel to freshen up. Good times. When we come back, I want to get into Saints and Eagles. There you go. You have your travel story. Saints and Eagles, my thoughts. When we return, open phones right now. Stay after it. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Doing what you'd expect me to be doing on a Monday. Watching Adam Gase's crazy eyes. Hey, look, I just say it because, I don't know, they are. And everybody's all about it and talking about it. I'm getting all sorts of emails from Rashay Caldwell all of a sudden. My man, you better win immediately. If you're going to roll out to a presser like that, and kind of showing up like that, you better win. You better win. Man, that was an interesting look. So I'm doing that, and I'm also watching a police chase on the rainy freeways of Los Angeles. It looks like they may have lost the actual car, though, the suspect. I don't know. It's raining in L.A., and weird things happen in L.A. You know that when it rains. Heat-branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, and clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. Heat. 1-800-636-8686. Just banging through your telephone calls, looking for a little bit of reaction, having some fun on a Monday. You know, it might not have been the best weekend of football ever, but it may have been the saltiest. Hey, Rome, after watching CJ on Saturday, from now on, I would like to be known as the skinny Anderson. Thanks, Louie. Louie, he's no longer with us, is he? Louie Anderson? Again, CJ, my bad, he's still here. CJ Anderson is unbelievable. And what he's done for the Rams has been nothing short of amazing. Man, y'all focused on the wrong things, idiots. Hey, believe me, when Sean Payton looks at film and he sees Anderson, he does not see what you idiots see. He's concerned. 1-2 punch of Anderson and Gurley. And I'll tell you how valuable Anderson is. Notice that when Gurley came back, Sean McVay still found ways to use him. Sean McVay still found a way to incorporate him into the offense. And on a night where Jared Goff, and that should be a nightmare. That should be the biggest nightmare for anybody thinking about the Rams. They're not a one-dimensional team. They can bludgeon you on the ground. They just bludgeoned a team that had completely locked up a team that was the best in the NFL running the football. Dear Jim, I forgot how good Stu in Manhattan is. Almost as good as Chowder in Boston. Yours, Cheat Day Anderson. Brett and Bugaha. See, Brett, that's why you're one of the worst in the game. That doesn't even make sense. CJ, cheat day, like. And the last email before I get back to my program and keep you from wrecking it. Rome, the Cowboys have not won a playoff road game since 1994 versus Green Bay. 28 years. America's team, my ass. Mike and Snowbird, good email. Fair email. And America's team are the Cleveland Browns. And America's coach is Freddie Kitchens. All right, so as I mentioned, it might not have been the very best weekend of football, but it might have been the saltiest. From the Rams firing back at the Cowboys and the Patriots firing back at everybody. You even had the Saints stealing a look from the Eagles, which I'll get to in a minute. New Orleans started the week by getting a good look at the Lombardi and a huge stack of cash. They ended the week by turning their locker room into the hottest club in America. And in between, they battled their asses off against the Eagles. This was not the same Eagles team that they humiliated 48-7 back in November. This is a Nick Foles Eagles team in the postseason. That means everything is different. And it was, like Drew Brees doing this on the very first play.
Four-man front, shotgun snap, drops back three, looks long, down the middle, throws a pass. It's intercepted! Cravon LeBlanc, a leaping, falling down pick of Brees on his first pass of the game.
That's Westwood One. And then Nick Foles goes right to work. Seven plays, 76 yards, touchdown. As I mentioned earlier, I got down before that game. I went Saints, -8. They fell behind 7-0. I went back in, tripled that bet, chasing like a degenerate. But I saw an opportunity. Like, if they make sense at -8, why wouldn't I love them at -2.5? I did it, saved my entire weekend. Chasing does work sometimes, but I digress. 7-0. Saints go 3-and-out. 10 plays, 75 yards, and a touchdown later, Philadelphia's up 14-0. Suddenly, the Saints' offense, the Saints' defense, and the Superdome crowd looked like they were no match for Nick Foles. And it looked like Nick Foles was going to keep doing Nick Foles things. Early in the second quarter, the Saints line up to punt again. It felt like that game was getting away from them. So Sean Payton did what Sean Payton does. And Taysom Hill did what Taysom Hill does. Go ahead, Alvy, roll it.
Thomas Morstead has punted more in his first half, and it's a fake, and it's a keeper, and it's a first down. So forget the Morstead punt. Taysom Hill, who does it all for this team, on the trickery.
I think Sean Payton, their head coach, felt this game really starting to slip away from his team and went for a play to try and change the momentum and change their fortunes.
That is brass as hell. The best thing about that fake punt is not the confidence to call it on your own 30. Your own 30. It's not even the fact that punter Thomas Morstead was the one who was pushing Payton to call it. It's the fact that the Eagles knew that it was coming and Hill still got it. Philly had 8 guys in the box. They had multiple defensive starting players on the field. They were prepared for the fake and Taysom Hill still got it. That's what happens when Hill has the ball. The guy squats a house. You could put 15 guys in the box, and he'd still find a way to get that 1 yard. The gamble paid off. The Saints go right down the field and had 4th and goal from the 2. You think they faked a punt? You think they were going to fake a punt on 4th and 2? Or you think they're going to settle for a field goal? Wrong. Roll it again.
Brees looking to throw.
Brass again. What, they're not going for it when they faked a punt on their own 30? That drive kept the Saints in the game. But if you want the drive that won the game, look no further than that epic 11-minute, 29-second drive that gave New Orleans its first lead of the game. That's a statement. That's a dagger. You can call that drive a lot of things. Just don't call it an 18-play, 92-yard drive. Because thanks to penalties, it was actually a 22-play, 117-yard drive. Man, it was tough. Not pretty. It was tough. The Saints had a TD called back on a penalty. Brees missed Hill for a potential TD pass, but they eventually found the end zone when Brees hit Michael Thomas. So, did left tackle Teron Armstead celebrate that TD? Quote, "Hell no. I had to find the oxygen." End quote. Pretty much everybody in that building had to. Even then, even after a back-breaking drive that gave New Orleans a 17-14 lead, killed off nearly a quarter. It should have killed off the Eagles, but it didn't, and you knew it wouldn't because Nick Foles. And he had the Eagles driving again. This time he had the Eagles inside the New Orleans 30 late in the fourth quarter, down by six. If you've seen Nick Foles in the playoffs, you know how this ends, with him finding a receiver and finding the end zone and snatching victory away from defeat. This is what this guy does. Roll that.
Snap gets off before the two-minute warning. Foles in the pocket, throws. And that ball's intercepted.
Go
off
down.
The hands of Jeffries. Marshawn Lattimore.
Yes.
Marshawn Lattimore with his second interception of the game. Returns it to the 34. And better than any time this season, Saints, go take a photograph.
Wait, what? That is not supposed to happen. Right through the hands of Alshon Jeffery, right into the hands of Lattimore. That's how close Nick Foles was to making it happen again. You know what I'm talking about, Saints fans. You know it. As good as you're feeling right now, you had to be sweating that yesterday. You know if Jeffery catches that ball, that drive is probably ending with a Philly TD and a Philly lead. That's just how insane Foles is during these moments. Yesterday's loss doesn't change that. And a brutal moment for Jeffery. A brutal, brutal moment for Jeffery, but one that he could not have handled any better than he did.
Play I didn't make. I mean, it went through my hands. I mean, Nick threw me a catchable ball. I got to make that play. That's on me. I'll take that loss. That's on me. Let all my teammates down. City of Philadelphia, that's on me. I'll take that.
I mean, you can't handle a worse moment and handle it. You can't have a worse moment and handle it any better than Jeffery just did. So before you come in to kill that guy for making that mistake, you better check with his teammates because they all had his back. It's a guy who played through a torn rotator cuff last year, and according to Lane Johnson, was playing with broken ribs yesterday. But the Saints capitalize. They ripped that game from Philly. They ripped the ski mask look from Philly afterwards. And then they did what they always do, and they had a big old dance party in the locker room. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you haven't seen those videos, you should, because they're awesome. Now we get Rams v. Saints in the Dome. McVay v. Peyton, Goff v. Breeze. Matchups are amazing. They both run the hell out of it, too. And you know there's going to be a hell of a lot of jaw-jacking. Let's get to it. Let's get it on. I'm looking up to my right to see what's going on with the car chase in the rainy streets of L.A. At least the cameras found the right car. That's good. That's a start. All right, when we return, how about a good phone call, man? Somebody. I've got five or six topics I haven't gotten to yet that I want to. So I don't need that phone call. I just want that phone call. I would love a good phone call. Somebody pick me up. Open phones. One last segment. Next. If you want to know what's going on and you're just now checking in, here is a sports update for you. Rich Ackerman. Looks like the chase is over. Police car chase. A female getting out of the car. You don't see that very often. All right. Time now to ask the pros. You ask me a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jim, when you go to a big event like the one for O'Reilly, do you have to speak? Or are you there just to hang out? Were any other celebs there with you? Or were you the main event? War Lady Clones, Barb in War Iowa Lady City. Clones. Hey, Barb, what's up? All right, so the way that one goes, that is not a speaking engagement. Some of them are. That one is not. I go to hang out. So imagine a convention center. It's a great thing. They have their store managers, and it's their convention, and it's a multiple-day event, and they've got lots of different things. This particular event is in a convention center, and they've got, you know, they've got, like, would-be celebrities like me. They've got multiple nourishment stations, so to speak. They've got a band or two. They've got lots of games. It's a blast. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. Others that were there, Kix Brooks, who's a country music star, comes every single year. He's a great dude. I saw Rusty Wallace. I did not get a chance to speak with him, but he was a couple of booths over. Sean Parr is a big-time personality. Met him. He was a great guy. So that is not a speaking engagement. I kind of hang out, take a few pics, sign a few autographs if for whatever reason somebody wants it, and that's how we do that thing. It's a blast. That's fun every single year. So, Barb, thank you very much. Appreciate the question. There is your ATP. We'll do that again. Run it back on Wednesday. Another NFL note. If you didn't know before, you probably know by now. Field goal kicking is hard now. Really hard. It's hard, but it's made out to be like the easiest thing in the world. So when a kicker misses a kick, he's like the biggest waste of life ever. If a kicker makes a kick, it's like, yeah, well, so what? That's your job. You're not really even a player. I mean, it's all wrong. Completely twisted, all wrong. And we learned this past weekend when Cody Parkey solved the equation doink squared equals playoff elimination. And if this guy's life was miserable on the field after he doinked that kick, double doinked, it only got worse on Twitter when every keyboard killer coast to coast was on there making insane threats and saying really reprehensible things. So, why am I still talking about this 8 days later? Well, going to the weekend, Parkey dropped by the Today Show for a national interview where he told the hosts that he has wisely stayed off of social media since he plastered the goalposts.
I haven't been on social media or anything like that.
Smart man.
Yeah, so a lot of good can come from it and a lot of bad can come from it. But at the same time, I've gotten a lot of positive messages. Like I said earlier, I feel worse than anybody about missing that kick because I wanted to make it more than anybody.
He held that perfectly. Like, there's some really good things about social media and some really horrible things about social media. And nobody feels worse about missing that kick than me because I want to make it worse than anybody. He held that great. But since he's not on Twitter, and I am, let me update him on what happened Saturday at Goose Island Beer Company in Chicago. In case you missed it, Goose Island took up for Parkey. Issued a challenge last week stating, quote, "A lot of armchair kickers on here are saying that they could hit the field goal, which we find doubtful. You're going to sit there on your throne of potato chips and vape pens and criticize this dude's athleticism. Get real. So you know what we're going to do? Build a dang field goal post in the middle of the street outside of our brewery, and all you pro athletes can come out and prove us wrong. Hit the 43-yard field goal, and you'll win beer for a year and internal glory." Eternal glory. End of quote. That is awesome. Have some, vape guy. You berry-flavored, robot dart-inhaling bag. 101 people got to the brewery hours early, and they signed up. 101 people attempted that same 43-yard field goal, which was staged in the parking lot in the snow. 101 people missed badly. No free beer for a year. No eternal glory. Just a bunch of overconfident bros slipping in the snow and shanking leather every way but straight. I can't even pick my favorite miss, because the first try hard of the day was an ex-high school kicker who slipped and drilled the 7-foot-tall fence in front of him, which was there acting as the D-line. The miss was great, especially since that dude showed up in cleats and his old practice gamer. But the quote to the Tribune afterwards was the most ex-high school athlete quote ever. He said, and I quote, "I know I can make the kick. I just slipped. I know I can make the kick. I just didn't." Shout out to everybody who showed up and had to listen to high school football stories from all the ex-high school players who were there on Saturday. Had to be miserable. The other miss that I cannot get enough of is the dude who launched a rocket 3 feet off the ground and dead left right into a security guard's grapes. Right into a security guard's grapes. Heat-seeking missile right to the package.
Hans Moleman Productions presents Man Getting Hit by Football.
This contest is over. Give that man the $10,000. The ball
This groin, it works at so many levels.
Now, on the one hand, I feel badly for the dude who had to wear a 100-mile-per-hour Duke off his junk. On the other hand, I'm wondering why the hell anybody would stand in front of an amateur kicker in the snow. I mean, you're kind of asking for it, right? 101 attempts, 101 misses. Like I said, field goal kicking is hard. You don't believe me? Ask Adam Vinatieri. He missed both his kicks Saturday. Not at a brewery, but in a real live NFL playoff game. His first miss was from 23 yards, and he blistered the left upright. Terrible miss, but a great reaction from Chris Collinsworth.
Wow, that wasn't a doink, that was a dong.
My man, that was not a doink, that was a dong.
Wow, that wasn't a doink, that was a dong.
That's why my man's one of the best in the business. Doinks, dongs, shanks, hooks, pulls, blocks, whatever. Field goal kicking is hard. That dong should tell you that. Because that guy's one of the best to ever do it. And still, that was a dong. So the next time you see a doink or a dong,
that was a dong.
Push away from your keyboard. You're not supposed to feel worse than the guy who donged it.
That was a dong.
That was a dong.
That was a dong.
You know it's hard if that guy's missing a 23-yard field goal and then chasing it with a missed PAT. He had never missed a point after in his postseason career. That was a dong.
That was a dong.
I'm glad. That was a brilliant promotion. Oh, you think it's so easy, right? All right, legends, come on out here. Give it a shot. 0 for 101. Hey, Rome, we have never been in first class. It's too early. Signed, junior college students. Stephen PHX, were Archie Manning buying a family vacation and putting only Cooper in coach? Wow. Let's see, we got here Adam Schefter on Twitter. National Weather Service is projecting an Arctic blast to settle over Kansas City for Sunday's AFC Championship game versus the Patriots, reports the AP. Temperatures at kickoff could range from 10 degrees to well below zero, making it the coldest game in Arrowhead Stadium history. Man, there have been some cold, cold games there. You're telling me that's the coldest game ever? Wow. How you feeling about that home field advantage right now? Heat branded products designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. It's a heck of a way to start the week off. That was great. My thanks to Cam Jordan, Jim Trotter, John Morosi, the XR4TI crew. If you didn't get through today, try again tomorrow. Appreciate y'all listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.